Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
1 Corinthians. How many of you know about this book and all the issues that there were in the church of Corinth? How many of you would like to be the church in Corinth? I mean, they had one issue after another. There was disunity. People were pulling in different factions, in different directions. They were embracing false doctrine. They had immorality in the church. It was just one thing after another. They had questions about everything. Their services were disorderly. I mean, they just went wild with, you know, speaking in tongues, which is a legitimate gift, but it has its, you know, there's an order to it, to its exercise. But I mean, they had a long list of things that Paul had to write to them about to teach them and to help them to become what he wanted them to be and what the Lord wanted them to be. So anyway, he begins his letter. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the names of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Well, that takes us in, doesn't it? So he's writing to us as well. But notice how he addresses them. You bunch of heathen people who want to be the church. Let me tell you what the real deal is here. You need to straighten up, and then when you get your act together, then we'll call you. Maybe we'll think about talking about you maybe being a church. No, these were already his people. Yes, they were immature. Yes, they didn't know a lot. Yes, they had a whole lot of growing and changing to do, but God had already made them his own. Everything they needed, and he goes on to talk about that, was there. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. He didn't thank God because of their performance. He says, I thank God because of his grace. That's the only thing we got to glory in. Is that God has shown mercy. We haven't got the powers, we said many times, to even think about God or to come to him unless he's at work. God has to overshadow the human heart to even incline us to be interested in him. Oh, I tell you, we need to be singing about his grace. We need to be worshiping God because of his mercy toward us, because we would just simply die in our sins and perish and be gone forever if God didn't intervene. There's not one of us that can look in the mirror and say, I know why God picked me. I have no clue. God is a merciful, awesome, faithful God. Doesn't choose us based on our qualifications, in our own eyes especially. Because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. You see God at work? Here's Paul ministering. How did he minister? We know this from other places. Did he do it because he was educated, smart, and a good speaker? Well, he says that in chapter 2. It's very plain. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. He depended on the power of God. But that power of God to proclaim the word and the message of the gospel to them was accompanied by a work of the Spirit in the heart. And when people embraced that, God set his seal upon them. There was a transformation at the heart level. And you had a people who became the church of God. They had everything in there they needed to become everything God had ever called them to be. He will keep you, well, let's see. Testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, our Lord, is faithful. Ooh, what a foundation. You think about all the stuff he's getting ready to write about. What a foundation this is. You are already everything God wanted you to be. Now let's live like it. Let's learn what that means. Let's learn how to live out this life that God has given you. Praise God. You know, I've used this illustration, I think, many times over the years. And it has to do with natural life. We can look at somebody who has become something great in the world. They're smart, they're accomplished, they're an athlete, they're whatever they are, or in business, or they're just a nice human being. We look at them as an adult, and it's like you were nothing and now you've become all this. No, everything that you see right now was there when they were in their mother's womb. We have such a thing as called DNA, just from the biological side of it. Everything you and I will ever be, we were in our mother's womb. God performed a miracle in nature alone. And not only were we biologically a certain way, God knew us from the foundation of the world. Everything you and I would ever become in a natural way was there. And so becoming that is just a process of growing, of learning, of taking in nourishment, of learning about our capabilities and trying them out like kids love to do. And all of those things. And in that process, we grow up. But the thing is, we're not becoming something we're not. Are we? Think about that. We are not becoming something that we are not. We are becoming what we are. Well, I'll tell you, the same thing is true in the Spirit. There is such a thing as spiritual DNA. And I'll tell you, we have been united to Christ in such a way that we actually are a part of Him. That's amazing. But the seed of the Word of God that has been planted in the human heart has the power for us to grow up to be sons and daughters of the living God and stand there in glory one day. It's all in there. Every bit of the life that you and I need to become what we are. So where do the limitations come from? Where do my limitations come from? Where do yours come from? They come from us. They come from allowing the chains to continue to be around our neck. They come from not realizing who we are, not believing who we are. They come from continuing to live as though, yeah, that's good for somebody else. And I believe it in a general vague way, but, you know, I'm just what I am, and I'm limited. I can't be, all these voices that try to define who we think we are and usually are negative and tell us all about what we aren't, what we can't do and can't be. I'll tell you, God wants to lift us out of that and bring us to the point where we will cry out to God and say, I refuse to stay where I'm at. Isn't that what Paul did? Think about Paul. He said, yeah, I have a lot of things I've got to forget, so I forget what's behind. I forget my failures. I forget all the bad stuff. I learn from it, but I forget those things. I don't allow those things to define me. I am defined by the call of God to my heart and my life and the goal that He has set before me. And so my life today is not about staying where I'm at. My life is about reaching forth. And I'll tell you, how many of us get to the point where we sort of stop reaching? I don't hear a whole lot of amens. Probably one or two oh me's. But I'll tell you, God has so much for us. His heart is so yearning to take His people to that place. You know, I mentioned that prophecy about the uncircumcised and unclean not coming in. How many of you believe that when the church is presented to Christ, it's going to be like it is now? I'll tell you, God is going to do something. It's not something any of us can engineer. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can believe in it. We can pray and say, God, I don't know what you're going to do or when you're going to do it, but I want to be part of that. And I want you to lead us beyond where we're at. Our place here is not simply to keep the tradition alive. is not to say, well, here's our doctrines, here's what we stand for, here's what we believe. God has called us to something beyond where any of us is at. And I'll tell you, we allow the devil, as I say, so I guess I've said this many times today already, but we allow the devil to define us in such a way that we have no faith to be more than we have been. That's just me. Oh, poor me. Well, Jesus died to deliver me from poor me. And I'll tell you, the heart of coming to Christ is laying down that old life and being willing for it to die. And you will look at over and over again in Paul's writings, he spends all this time defining what God has done for us, but also defining what that makes us. And always it is upon that foundation that he begins to tell us how to live and how to put to death the things that are of the old life and to take up the things of the new. And I'll just drop this in right here. I am not talking about religious works and activities particularly. How many of you have been around a while remember Brother Thomas mentioning from time to time that God is a lot more interested in working in us than through us? Because if he works sufficiently in us, then what is done through us will be him and not us. So much of what we do is just us. This is what God wants me to do. I'm going to go do it. I'll tell you, I need him to change my heart and my life. I need him to bring me into such a union with him that, like Jesus, I won't do anything except what the Father shows me. And my place is not to be doing stuff for God. My place is to be allowing Christ to do something through me. And so we have these people here. And I thought about the first church. And I thought about how God called people on the day of Pentecost. You know, that was the launch of God's kingdom in the earth. In the real sense. That was the launch of the eternal kingdom. That was when Christ came to live. You know, I started out this weekend thinking about the coming of Christ. And thinking about, you know, it's time to really begin to talk about that and being ready and being all of that. And then I got to thinking about, you know, there's two comings of Christ. How many of you know that? And some people think, oh yeah, in the future he's going to come two or three times. No, I'm talking about the first coming that he talked about was on the day of Pentecost. He talked to his disciples and says, I'm going away, but it's good for you that I go away because I'm going to come back. And my Father and I will come and live in you. We're going to take up our, we're going to make you our home. Wow. I mean, how many people in the religious world today can say that? I believe, thank God for everyone who can. Thank God for the remnant. We're not alone. But I'll tell you what, there's more to being a church than just having a tradition, an organization, and a program, and a building, and all those kinds of things. We need to be the home of the eternal God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685 Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.